Welcome to Nature Folk. This is Selena Fox, and we celebrate people who connect with nature in sacred ways, Wiccans, Druids, heathens, and other pagans, people involved in nature spirituality. We celebrate community. We celebrate ways of networking. And tonight, we're continuing our series of celebrations on Nature Folk in September 2017 with a special show on the 20th anniversary of Fort Hood Open Circle. Fort Hood Open Circle is the pagan circle at Fort Hood, U.S. Army Post in Texas. At Mabon, at this week, there is a celebration of its 20 years of service to military pagans. Not only the pagans that are serving at Fort Hood, but celebrating the service of Fort Hood Open Circle to pagans in the U.S. military, in many branches and in many places. Fort Hood Open Circle, longest continuous pagan group at a USA military installation. We're going to be celebrating tonight with the leader of the Fort Hood Open Circle, the DRGL, Distinctive Religious Group Leader, Michelle Morris. So welcome, Michelle.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you on. I am so thankful to be part of our celebration tonight, and I'm also looking forward to the celebration at Fort Hood this coming weekend. I thought we'd start out by you sharing some of your perspectives about Fort Hood's Open Circle's origins and development. You've been involved in the leadership role for the last decade or so, and seen it grow and change quite a bit.
Yes, it has. Fort Hood Open Circle was officially recognized by the U.S. military in 1997. They were a group of soldiers and family members who were meeting in people's homes prior to the official recognition, but they wanted to be able to meet on base and have the same access to services as all of the other religious groups did. And it was a lot of meetings and explanations and probably some backroom arguments from what I understand, but it did happen. The first leader was actually a woman named Marcy Palmer, who was certified as the Distinctive Faith Group Leader, as it was known then. And then within a month of everything becoming official, she got orders to go overseas. So she's kind of the well-known leader of Fort Hood Open Circle, but she probably did the most work because she started all of this off and went through the very tough phase of having to explain to chaplains and officers and what have you that, yes, this was real, and yes, it was meaningful, and yes, they really did have to pay attention to it. So,
so blazing a trail, as it were.
Definitely, yes. And then we've had a number of really dedicated people step up and serve as leaders for the circle over the years. It was a pretty quiet group in the beginning, but in 1999, the Austin Statesman came out and they were guests at a Sabbath and they took some pictures and they made the front page of the community section in the Austin Statesman. And from there, we made the front page everywhere because this was news.
And there is quite a bit of debate for the first couple years because the press was interested in this because it is a first in terms of U.S. military installation here in the States. And for the first couple years, requests to have the circle in the news were turned down, but it having finally been established for a couple years, the decision was made, okay, we'll let them come to our Ostara gathering, and I remember it well. I think the article that came out was really positive, but not everybody that saw that article and heard about witches and other pagans celebrating the seasons at a U.S. military installation was thrilled about that, and some definitely were not embracing of that diversity.
That is absolutely correct. There were a lot of people who really didn't understand what we were about, and some who were very positive that they understood completely what we were about, but still did not want us working and worshiping on a military installation, at the very least. But Garrison and the Department of Defense made it very clear that this was not even up for discussion to shut down the circle. And things continued. There's been a lot of figuring out how to do this. Being the first of anything, it's kind of like being the oldest child where your parents make all the mistakes, and when you come home to visit, you find out that your younger siblings got to, you know, do all the things you weren't allowed to do. There's not a book on how to do this. The Army didn't know how to do this. We didn't know how to do this. So there's been a lot of changes as we figured out how to really function as an open circle, what that meant, how to interface a little more effectively within the military model. There's been a lot of figuring things out and growing, and I didn't discover until I started doing some research that the circle was actually founded to be a Wiccan congregation, probably because no one understood that that was like having only Baptist churches on post. But as we learn more, then we grow more. So now we are officially the Fort Hood Open/Wiccan circle, because you can't take anything away in the Army, but you can add to it. And there's been a lot of understanding about what it means to truly be a non-denominational pagan congregation. I think the work that you do is probably the closest model there is in the civilian world, and we're still charting the course as we go.
Well, and as I think back in the 1999, coming out to the world in the media, I was really gratified to see so many people from different religions and beliefs who stood with us as we defended the rights for Wiccans and other pagans to be able to practice their religion while they're on active duty and at a military installation. A Georgia Congress person by the name of Bob Barr attempted not once but twice to pass federal legislation taking away the rights of Wiccans and other pagans who are serving in the U.S. military to do this practice. And I dubbed that whole campaign Bar Wars, and it pretty much raged for 6 months. And I was one of a number of people that interfaced with Pentagon officials and people on Capitol Hill and the media to try to bring more understanding, not only about the Wiccan religion, but paganism as a whole, and the need to accommodate the religious beliefs and practices of Wiccans and other pagans in the U.S. military. I do think the good thing that came out of this, although clearly Fort Hood was a lightning rod for all of this controversy, there was more awareness about the fact that there's religious diversity amongst those in the military. And
absolutely.
the need to really have equality, liberty, and justice for all.
I was at Fort Bragg when Fort Hood Open Circle went public and it made the front page of the Army Times. And I was an actively practicing pagan, currently driving an hour and a half each way to the group that I was able to find to work with. So the idea of being able to have services on post and not just the accessibility, but the awareness and the knowledge that it would be other military families who understood the rest of my lifestyle was really a big deal. And during the Bar Wars, I joined in writing letters and making calls. I think that probably whether they were organized or not, there were pagans all over the country that suddenly realized that we were also activists. But
absolutely,
amazing to finally, I got here then in 2008, and that was one of the first things I did was come out and come to a class and come to rituals, and it was very meaningful just to be able to find that home within the rest of what made my world up. And I still get calls from soldiers when they come through Fort Hood for training that I'm only going to be here for 2 weeks or I'm only going to be here for a month. And do you have a service happening during that time? Because I've never been able to go to church where I was stationed or where I lived. And being able to tell them yes, and here's how to make that happen is one of the favorite moments of my job.
Well, I think it's really fabulous. I thought I would read a quote from the Washington Post archives, June 8, 1999. Killeen, mm-hmm. Texas. Every full moon for the past 2 years, a few dozen off-duty soldiers have gathered at an open campsite at Fort Hood, America's largest military post. By day, they're privates and sergeants in the U.S. Army training for deployment to Korea, Bosnia, Kosovo. But at these lunar assemblies, they trade in their army fatigues for hooded robes, chant to the lead of their chosen high priestess, and dance around a fire well into the night. They are America's first official army witches, with all that double duty implies. And it continues to go on, and it, you know, the fact that it went so public, it was, you mentioned the Austin American Statesman, and then it was in the Washington Post, USA Today. I mean, it was just everywhere. It was on TV, it was on radio, and it was, it really opened the eyes about this diversity, and I think it helped inspire people serving in the U.S. military to start creating some other groups at other installations.
Yes. And now we have them all over the country.
Yeah. What are some of the other legacies of the Fort Hood Open Circle over the past 20 years? You know, it's inspired people to start additional groups at other military installations and on ships?
We've got, I hear from groups all over the country that are wanting to support military pagan soldiers. We've got circles that have sent out care packages for troops that are deployed. And these are little tiny groups that it may be five families meeting in someone's home. But once there was an awareness that there are soldiers who are also pagans and they're going overseas and they're doing all of these things without having the support that maybe some of the more large mainstream groups have, it gave people all over the country a chance to connect and show both their spirituality and their patriotism at the same time. We've got a group of, right now I have travel altars that were donated by an organization that they made them and blessed them. And I've given them away over the years to soldiers who wanted to take something overseas that would fit in a duffel and not take up a lot of weight or room. And then from what I hear from several of them, they'll find another pagan while they're overseas and leave it for the next group that comes through or for someone that's still stationed there after they're leaving. So these things take on a life of their own. And it enables people to connect. One of the hardest things about military service is that you do leave everything behind. You leave your hometown and your family and all the things that you're used to and you're familiar with. And you go someplace else and you learn a new language that's all acronyms and no one else understands it. And then when you add the pagan into it, it's very, very lonely sometimes if you don't have people to connect with. I think that the community building side of leading an open circle is truly, truly sacred work. And it's just as important as facilitating rituals and teaching classes because that human connection. It's one thing to be able to send out an email and have an instant message with somebody, but you can't get a hug from them. They're not going to sit down and pour you a cup of coffee or brew a cup of tea and sit across from you and listen to what's going on. And we need that. We all need that. Human beings do. So being able to find the people that don't just speak our military language, but speak our spiritual language as well is really important.
Yeah, and I know that there's been wonderful times with the Fort Hood Open Circle as it's grown and developed and diversified. There's also been some challenging times. And I know even before Circle Sanctuary became the official sponsor of Fort Hood Open Circle, we have been part of those good times and challenging times. I think back when shootings happened at Fort Hood, that community that you speak of, it became a place for healing for the pagans, part of Fort Hood Open Circle, who were impacted in various ways by the tragedies at Fort Hood. It's also been a place where people who are brand new to military service and really seeking for a spiritual path have been able to find people who are welcoming and allowing people to be able to take classes, take part in rituals and things without trying to convert. You know, a real welcoming not only of different paths, but of those who are still exploring. And I want to thank you for your leadership in embracing the ever-increasing pagan diversity that is in the larger pagan world, as well as being open for people who are in the exploring phase.
It's actually a lot of fun to be open to all of that. It's by having respectful conversations with people who don't think the same things that we do, where we learn more about ourselves and our path and each other. So encouraging diversity encourages your community to grow, in my opinion. But it is, I think, a unique opportunity for military circles. During the Don't Ask, Don't Tell years, our circle was a safe place for a lot of the LGBT community that weren't pagan, because they knew that, as you said, it was someplace they could come out and be themselves completely,
yeah,
publicly, and not be told that, well, you can only come here if you also pray to our gods or agree with our tenets and philosophies, because we don't do that. And now, with the issues with the trans community in the military, we still provide that haven, and we're very, very committed to staying open in every sense of the word. We have,
yeah,
a lot of mixed couples who come out where we've got one pagan spouse and one Christian spouse, and they love that neither of them gets pressure to change the other person's mind to better their relationship when they come to our services. So it meets a lot of different needs.
Yeah, I agree. Tell us a little bit about some of the events that you hold during the course of the year, and a bit about the place and places where you meet.
So we hold classes on Wednesday nights, and we do a lot of general education. One of the challenges when you aren't teaching a tradition is, well, then what do you teach? Some of it is a little bit of everything, so that people have a broad knowledge base about what traditions are out there when they leave the military and might need to integrate into a group that is tradition specific. They'll have a little bit of knowledge of what might work for them and what might not. But mostly we do a lot of teaching on how to write and discover your own path, how to make it really personal to you. Then we hold rituals on a really beautiful piece of land out on West Fort Hood. It's a military morale, welfare, and recreation camp. We call it an MWR camp. And we have a space designated at the back of the camp that is our chapel area. And it's fenced off and separate so that we can go out there and work undisturbed. And it is a beautiful piece of land. It is the original place where the circle was set a couple of years ago. We had some access issues briefly, and we were asked if we wanted to move. And we said, no, we really like it out here. And then I explained to the chaplaincy that at the time it was about 18 years of energy poured into one space, had spiritual significance for our belief, and they said, okay, that's all we needed to know, which was fantastic and refreshing.
Yeah.
We've come a long way in awareness when that kind of exchange can happen and just be that simple. But we use the space for ritual, but we have a very full calendar. We have an egg hunt for Ostara in the spring. So we get overrun with kids and eggs and picnic. And then we have four camping retreats a year where we actually take over the entire camp and turn it into our own little corner of Pagan Central for a weekend. We do the first weekend in April just to let everybody kind of pull out their camping gear and have a practice run. And then we celebrate Beltane out there with a camping weekend and dance a maypole and run through the fires and give people the opportunity to do all of the Beltane traditional things. And then we camp for Maybon, and then we camp for Samhain. We hold games for Lunasa in August. Although being Texas, we hold water games because August in Texas is triple digits. So there are things that we're harvesting, but if we game for Lou, it is water balloons and squirt guns so that nobody dies. But it's a lot of fun. And then we hold our Yule ritual, and then we move up to the front of the camp where we have a long building that we call the longhouse, really imaginative, but we'll have food and games and hot beverages set up to keep people warm, and we'll hold vigil all night and bring the sun up for the longest night of the year. So we keep a very active calendar and give people a lot of opportunities to come out and connect with each other and with the space that's out there. The circle
wonderful.
Is open during the whole time of the camping weekend so that people can go out and use it for private meditation or their own personal rituals outside of whatever ritual that we're doing as a main group. So there's always something going on.
Well, I was at Fort Hood 10 years ago for the 10th anniversary and really loved the space and to actually be in an actual circle and wonderful people coming in and being together and doing ritual together. I remember it was the first ritual that I took part in and helped with that had Chinook helicopters flying overhead during ritual. And we were kind of in the thick as a country of military operations overseas. And I remember us spending a few moments and looking at the troops either coming back or going out and just incorporating it into the ritual, you know, waving,
yep,
sending well wishes, a welcome to those troops who were flying back and best wishes to those who were getting deployed.
We are still on the airfield path, so that is a regular occurrence. To occasionally need to pause because there's a very loud plane going overhead. You can't forget that you're on a military installation. But we
absolutely
have changed a few things at the circle. It's going to look a little different when you come out this time. We have some new lighting installed. We don't have electricity in that particular corner of Camp Finlayson. And you get out in the woods and it gets dark, it's a whole lot darker than people realize when there's no light pollution. Beautiful skies,
right,
but sometimes a bit of a safety hazard. So we have some really good solar lighting installs that's been done slowly over the last couple of years so that we are a little safer. I'm known for being particularly clumsy, so this is very good. But we also moved the altar. This is something that the congregation and I have been working on for several years just to make sure that it was going to be the right fit for everyone. But when the circle was first set, everything that was being written at the time was very Wiccan-based. And it's traditional to put the altar in the north toward more the edge of the circle for a lot of those models. But what that meant was that anybody working at the altar had their back to the whole rest of the circle, and the circle, the people in the circle can't always see or hear what's happening at the altar. So it didn't feel like the congregation's altar. It just felt like the priest or priestess's altar. And we experimented by bringing a table out and just using it in different places around the circle to find something that really worked for everybody that came out. And the altar is still in the north, but now it is right up at the edge of the fire pit so that it is central to the circle space. And now it really is the entire congregation's altar instead of being something off on the edge that only the person at the altar can see and work with. And that was a lot of really heavy stone and some amazing forklift driving. I have pictures that I'll share with you when you get here, because this is not the little forklift that you might see at, say, Sam's Club. This was a huge truck that happened to have a forklift on the end. So they kind of just brought a tank into the circle, and the soldier driving it was exceptionally talented and managed to maneuver around everything else out there. I don't know how he did it,
that
but
is
he did.
Great.
And, it's beautiful. So
I'm really looking forward to seeing it. I know there was some controversy in the early days, especially after the publicity came out, and in addition to having some so-called politicians attempt to shut it down, there were some people who weren't respectful of the pagan sacred circle, and so there was a need to deal with some vandalism. But my understanding is, over the years, people have come to really respect that space, and the very fact that it's now going into its next phase and you've done some renovation of the circle, I think, is a real testament to its staying power.
Yes, yes, it is. Where we have our firewood provided by the chapel office, because that is a sacramental item, just the same way that incense is in a Catholic church. We have also incense and sage provided for when we want to use those as well. But it is definitely a different space now that it's being maintained regularly. The same people that come out and mow the chapel grounds come out and mow and maintain our space. And I know for a long time that wasn't happening. When I got here, the circle was still kind of struggling to do all of it by themselves.
Right.
Because again, there was no manual on either the pagan side or the military side on how to do this. So, a lot of the things that should have been available to the circle all along, like sacramental items being provided and the circle being maintained with Army resources, just weren't happening because no one knew. The Army didn't know what we needed. They've never had to try and do this before, and we didn't know to ask. So that was something that I was able to bring to the table a little bit, because I'd done a lot of volunteer work and teaching and organizing within the Army systems as a spouse. So I had a better idea of how to work things than some people who didn't have the same exposure. So it's been a pleasure to check some things off my to-do list. I really like to leave things better than I found them. And I hope that the people that come out that have been to Fort Hood Open Circle in the past years feel like we've done that during my time here.
Yeah. Well, and I know that the relationship with the chaplains at Fort Hood has been evolving over the years, as you've mentioned. Can you tell us a little bit about the interface with chaplains? Do you have a chaplain that is like an advisor or a support person for any special needs, a liaison with the chaplain's office?
We do now. We actually have what's known as a sponsoring chaplain. We are on our third sponsoring chaplain now because, of course, we don't get to keep anyone too long. They tend to rotate officers out about every 2 years. So just about the time you get somebody nicely broken in, they go someplace else. So it's a
such as the military.
Yes, always. Yeah. But and our current sponsoring chaplain is fantastic. You'll get to meet him. But we've got a whole team. We've always had the community minister on post, and he's in charge of all of the congregations. But that's one man to do a very big job. So finally having an individual sponsoring chaplain, which only has happened in about the last 2.5 years, has been a big help to be able to kind of hand some of the things on what used to be my long to-do list off to him and say, okay, let's share this, and then we can get more done. And that's been just so very helpful. We have a very, very supportive garrison chaplain right now, which is very nice. That's, you just never know who's going to be coming from where and what their level of experience will be. And the garrison chaplain really sets the tone for how the congregation is treated during their tenure. Having someone who barely puts up with us means that while we still are supposed to have the same access to things, stuff may or may not happen that way. And we've had a few of those in the past. So having someone that is incredibly supportive makes everything go much more smoothly, because that attitude makes its way through the ranks.
Oh, absolutely.
They will all be out, the garrison chaplain, the deputy, and our sponsoring chaplain will all be out this weekend to recognize the anniversary and meet you. So it's been a series of firsts, actually. Last year for Maybon, our garrison chaplain and his wife came out and attended our Maybon ritual. Their beliefs meant that they didn't participate, but they sat and observed and had food with us afterward. And that's the first time we've ever had a garrison chaplain come out and attend a ritual. So that's a big deal. It meant
that
a lot
is
to the congregation and to further the understanding and awareness of what we do.
That is just so wonderful. Tell us a bit about how you'll be celebrating this weekend, and if people who are listening live or listening later are interested in coming, how they can get some more information.
We have a Facebook page. It's Fort Hood Open Circle, and the picture is actually our Maybon altar from last year, the banner picture at the top of the page. We will be camping for Maybon. If you go onto the page and look under events, you'll see Maybon Retreat Weekend. And I think that you've shared it to the Circle community, and
right.
I've shared the event to the Central Texas area community. But anybody is welcome. We have some people driving in from Oklahoma. I think you're coming the furthest to be with us this weekend. But we do have lots of people traveling in. But in the event, you'll find information about how to access the military installation, what to do to get a pass if you're not a DOD employee. You will find a note on the policies for the camp and what amenities are there and what isn't there, so you know exactly what you might need to bring, because it's always easier to know what to expect. You'll find an itinerary that outlines the schedule of events. We hold a newcomer's dinner Friday evening where I feed everybody who's out for the first time. Camp opens at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, or 1300, on Friday. And we'll have a lot of people coming in throughout the evening just to set up, and that tends to be a low-key night to get camp set, mix, mingle, re-meet old acquaintances, and make new friends. And then Saturday morning, there will be a morning workshop on Maybon, the holiday itself.
And you're doing that one, correct?
I am, yes. Yes, some of the traditions and from all different types of ways to celebrate Maybon. And then a little bit on how we celebrate it here at Fort Hood. Then you will be doing a talk in the afternoon on Lady Liberty as a goddess icon and some of the history and how to work with that. And then at 5 o'clock, we will be acknowledging the anniversary and have all of our guests out. And then we'll move into a big potluck supper and then hold our ritual at 8. And then we have a special performance by a returning Circle guest at 10 o'clock. That should be lots of fun. And then there is generally conversation around the fire until the wee hours of the morning. And then Sunday we do breakfast and then break camp and go home, hopefully a little refreshed and recharged and reconnected. Anybody is welcome to come out. And
That's
you
great.
Don't need to RSVP if you, you know, if you aren't out publicly, since it is a public page. And of course you don't need to mark yourself as coming. We're really, really big about not outing people. If you do mark that you're coming, then we know how many heads to count for dinner. But we've got a lot of kitchen witches who really like to cook, so it doesn't really seem to matter how many extra people we have show up. We never run out of food.
Well, that's been part of my recollection, that the hospitality is great, a wonderful community, connection, celebration, and I'm really looking forward to being among those journeying to Fort Hood this coming weekend. That is Friday, September 22nd, the first day of autumn, Saturday, September 23rd, and concluding on Sunday, September 24th. Tell us a little bit about the people who are part of Fort Hood Open Circle. Obviously, there are people who are on active duty, because that's how Fort Hood Open Circle came to be, was to serve those needs. But you also have some people who are family members and veterans, correct?
We do. We have an incredibly mixed group. We have some veterans who have stayed in the Fort Hood area, and so they continue to attend. We have, of course, the active duty. We have family members who come with or without their soldier, because they may or may not be on Fort Hood at any given time. And then we also have just people in the local community. A lot of people think that the military congregation is only for military members, but anyone who wants to access POST, which all that requires is a legal state ID and a legal vehicle. So you just need to show that you are registered and have insurance, and you can get a pass to come on POST. But anyone who wants to access POST and come join us is welcome to do so. And we do have probably about a third to half, depending on where we are in the deployment rotation, of our congregation are civilians who come out because there isn't another group that is as diverse as we are in the area. Unless you want to drive up to Austin, we're the only open group in the Killeen area. So we welcome everyone. And over the last year, we've actually been hosting one of the local covens in town. Due to some circumstances outside their control, they lost the ritual space that they had been using. And so they've been joining us in our circle to celebrate all of the major Sabbaths for the last year or so. So that's been a neat opportunity to network with a tradition-specific group and do some cross-conversation and ritual work between our two communities. So I guess we're diverse in a lot of different directions, I guess you could say.
Yeah, absolutely. And with classes, my understanding is you've had some people from different traditions take part in the education as another way of celebrating and accommodating diversity of pagans.
Oh, absolutely. I really encourage when we have local leaders that are available or subject matter experts, we invite them to come out and speak. We've had, we were really fortunate about a year ago, Shauna Oren Knight was coming through Texas and was able to come do a workshop on POST for us. We don't get many pagans traveling through Texas, especially since tours happen often in the summertime, and nobody wants to come to Texas in the summer. We're dying down here, but every once in a while we get lucky. But among just the congregation, I really encourage people to help teach and facilitate classes and rituals. If there's something that someone is really passionate about, then I can do research and probably put out a very competent class. But if that's your wheelhouse, if that's the thing that you love, then you're going to have all of that passion and enthusiasm behind the class. And I really like to encourage those people to teach it themselves, because there's something that, you know, you can't get from just doing some really good research. If you've ever had a teacher that really loved what they do, you know what I'm talking about. So we have had congregation members teach herb workshops and tarot workshops and holistic healing, just a whole number of things. And it gives everybody a chance to kind of improve their skills and learn from a new perspective. I also encourage people to lead rituals if that's something that they're interested in doing. I will work with people to help them figure out how to facilitate a ritual for more than just, say, their family. But where else can you get the opportunity to lead 30 people in a public ritual if you aren't at one of these groups? So there's a lot of opportunity to grow on your path if that's the direction that you want to go. And we've had several members leave Fort Hood Open Circle and become DRGLs at other bases. Right now, Fort Bliss is, I think, also sponsored by you guys and being led by one of our members that we miss terribly, but here she's doing really great things at Bliss. So that's a lot of fun to know that we're planting seeds that are growing all over the place.
That's fabulous. Do you have any particular ritual format that you work with, or does it really depend on the type of ritual, moon ritual, life passage ritual, Sabbat ritual, and who happens to be facilitating it?
It depends on what we're doing. We did a sumbal, which is a Norse ceremony, last year for Samhain, and we are doing that again for Yule this year. They're immensely popular, and it was requested that we continue doing that at least on a semi-regular basis. And our first sumbal was introduced to the community by someone who came in and asked if he could lead us in one. So that was a great example of the congregation getting active and opening a new avenue of ritual expression. But my oftentimes I will use a loose Wiccan format, kind of the bones maybe. We will recognize the elements and deity and then move into the working portion of the rit and then do some version of cakes and ale. We tend to get a little creative. And then close things out because it gives people enough of a recognizable structure that if it's their first time out, they feel a little more comfortable. That being said, the working portion of the rit, the unofficial motto of the circle is it's different here. And it very much is different here. We do a lot of working rituals. We don't have many come out and sit and meditate for a little while and then go home. We do that on occasion, but we do creative dramas, working craft projects. We've built candles and put things together in the ritual process. So there's I don't like to do the same ritual over and over again. I know that there are good reasons to have one ritual for new moons and one ritual for full moons and one ritual for each of the Sabbaths. And for a lot of traditions, that works, and people find that to be very meaningful. To me, sometimes it just gets to feel like pagan calisthenics, where you just something becomes so rote that it loses some of its magic. So I tend to do a lot of different things.
Well, and I think that's a really...
If you haven't, if you've only come out to one ritual, you have gotten maybe a tenth of what we might be doing out there.
Yeah, well, and I think it really does help to keep rituals fresh. I know that for some people, they choose a military circle that they are part of to have various life passage ceremonies in addition to celebrating moons and in the seasons. And I know that some people in different parts of the country and other places in the world have done rituals of protection when loved ones are going into combat or being deployed, rituals of healing and reintegration when people come back. I'm wondering if you can tell us a little bit about life passage
we do
experiences.
All of that. We've had awakenings, baby blessings out of the circle. We have had hand fastings done out there, both for members of the circle, and then because I am legal to marry, bury, and everything in between in Texas, I will get requests from people who are not a part of the circle but know that I will do gay marriages and I will do, if you want to get married, I'll do it. It's not my business. As long as you're both consenting adults, then that's your relationship. But so then we've had a number of weddings out there that are lots of fun. We have had memorials out there. Those are not anybody's favorite services to do, but being able to offer that to the community is important.
Yeah.
And then we do the protection rituals. Whenever I've got someone that is deploying, I make sure that they know that they have the opportunity to access the circle privately if they wish before they leave, if they want to do any work on their own. And then we make sure that they know that as a congregation that they are going with our blessing and our support and our love and our protection as much as we can offer it. Then we welcome people back home. We have a lot of soldiers that use the camping weekends as a hurrah before they leave or once they're home to really celebrate. Now I'm finally home, not just back at Fort Hood, but back in my sacred space. Being in charge of the chapel space, I have access to it 24/7. So we will often have people who contact the congregation through the garrison or contact me directly that are going through something difficult, whatever that may be, and want to go out and spend some time in the circle, either with me or one-on-one, just themselves in that space. And I do my very best to accommodate that as much as possible. I'm not always available at the drop of a hat, but we are generally able to schedule something that will work for everybody involved. It's their space. So the people who worship out there should have as much access to it as is possible. We've even had pet memorials out there.
It's really wonderful of the wide range of services that you and others are making available. And I think it is fabulous. This 20th anniversary is coming up. So in closing, what are some things as you look ahead to the future? What are some hopes and visions for the Fort Hood Open Circle as we move into this milestone for you all?
I really want electricity out there someday. That is the longest running thing in my to-do list, and I'm still trying to make it happen. I think it would improve what we can offer out there. But the wheels of the military move very slowly. But in the short term, we're actually working on bringing some more structure out to the place, looking at some shelter options for outdoor class space within the circle area, and then possibly looking at some sort of a water feature out there. So there are some potential exciting things coming down the road. It'll depend on, of course, funding and military approval, but I've got a chaplain who is very, very excited about making some improvements out there, and we're looking forward to seeing what we can do together.
Well, I'm looking forward to getting to see you again and getting to visit not only the place for the Fort Hood Open Circle, but the community that is Fort Hood Open Circle. Thank you so much for being on our show tonight. Thank you for your service to pagans at Fort Hood and to the larger pagan world. Thanks for your work with interreligious collaboration and communication and understanding. And happy 20th to you and everyone at Fort Hood Open Circle.
Thank you.
So to get more information, why don't you tell us again how people can connect?
If you find the Fort Hood Open Circle page on Facebook, go to events, look for Maybon Retreats, and all of the information that you need is in the events folder itself. So you don't have to navigate all over the place. And it will be shared to the Circle Sanctuary community page as well, so that you can find it there too.
Well, it's really wonderful. Thanks to everyone who listened live. Thanks to everyone who's listening later. Do share the celebration with others who may be interested, whether you can actually tune in face-to-face. We may experiment with some live streaming of my talk if we get good signal. And we're going to see what we might do for those of you who like the live streaming Facebook piece, and where chances are there will be some photos and some videos for this historic occasion. And yeah, so many blessings. And now we prepare to go into the next part of the Circle Radio evening. I want to give thanks to the Pagans Tonight Radio Network that sponsors our Circle Radio podcast. Following Nature Folk each week is Circle Talk. And I do a shout out to our Circle Radio Ministry team, David and Jeanette Ewing and Deborah Rose. Well, and I want to wish everyone a good dark moon, new moon time, and a happy autumnal equinox for all of you in the Northern Hemisphere. And yes, we get some listeners in the Southern Hemisphere. So happy spring and vernal equinox to you. So we have some music taking us into the next part of our evening, to Circle Talk. And what do we have bridging our shows?
Well, this evening, because of the focus on Fort Hood and the military aspect, and kind of digging back to when we used to do Pagan Warrior Radio back in the day before Circle Talk, which is what Circle Talk evolved from, thought we would play the cymbal song by Celia.
That sounds fabulous. And yes, so it's yet another historic milestone in paganism in America. And enjoy Cymbal by Celia. 10 years ago, I was at Fort Hood celebrating the fact that this symbol, the pinnacle, was able to be added to the list of emblems, a belief that the VA puts on grave markers for deceased veterans. And I want to give thanks to everybody at Fort Hood who helped with that quest, as well as those in other places and walks of life. Continue to tune in, and may you all have a blessed new moon and equinox.
An American soldier came home today, wrapped up as cargo in an American flag. He asked for one sweet silent symbol on his grave, but the VA gun said, "Sorry, son, request denied." Well, he served as any other with his hands and with his heart. He prayed to Father Sky, he bowed down to Mother Earth. He honored air and water and the fire he danced around, but you didn't honor him before you put him in the ground. It's a symbol, it's a sign, it stands for everything divine. Excuse me, sir, I think you're wrong. I checked it the last time I read the doctrine. It said, practicing your faith is not a crime. So let this soldier rest, honor his request. You sent that little girl crying home from school. Told her she was evil and she disobeyed the rules. You took away her pendant, grandmother's gift. But the other kids are free to wear their crucifix. And she knows that if you catch her, that you'll have her expelled. She's frightened every member of the family's gone to hell. So messed up, she's 5 years old, she doesn't know her rights. But her daddy is a lawyer, so get ready for the fight. What we believe in. He's a believer and he wears it on his arm. First day new job, he set off all of the alarms. The memo spread like wildfire that the devil had arrived. And the virus got to corporate and they fired him by five. Now all this
believe in the freedom of speech, freedom of faith, freedom. freedom of religion, freedom to stand up and fight.